Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we lift up this time and this message. We put them into your hands. Do your will with them, Lord. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at the reward aspect of the eternal judgment that will occur when Christ returns. Scripture tells us that we will be granted blessing from God for doing the good works we are called to do. If we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, doing these good works are a foregone conclusion. They are the sign that you do love your neighbor as you love yourself. After all, Scripture tells us that we were saved by grace through faith to do good works, the works he created us to do. Ephesians 2, 6 through 10, just as a reminder, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourself. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We would live our lives in them. I've noted that these eternal rewards for walking in good works are earned by you, unlike salvation and sanctification, which are obtained through God's grace alone. Salvation is what God does for you. Sanctification is what God does to you. Good works are what you do because of what he did for you and to you. Eternal reward is a direct result of your efforts and commitment to the kingdom of God, your desire to do his will, and God's love for you, his desire to reward you, along with God's absolute commitment to justice, because when it's handing out the rewards, they are based on justice. Like eternal punishment, eternal rewards will be granted at the judgment seat of Christ, where the goats will be punished, sent away from God's presence, and the sheep will be rewarded, brought into God's presence. This morning, I want to take a look at God granting eternal authority to his people as a reward for temporal obedience. This is a hard one for me, and maybe some of you, to separate from God's grace, because while it is grace that grants this giving of authority to believers, it is allotted to us on a basis of individual works. To be clear, none of us deserves to be granted authority from God. We have no claim to it. We can't demand that he owes it to us. I see it this way. You don't deserve it, but you may deserve it more than me. Or perhaps it's better to say, I deserve it less than you. Grace allows it, but works is the protocol for distribution among the saints. Be sure to understand that this will not be our own authority. It will be us administering God's divine authority on his behalf. This is not because God needs help with his to-do list. He doesn't need assistance from any of us to do anything for him. Never did, never will. His authority will be granted to us because God desires us to be a part of his governing, management, and administration of all things. We are joint heirs of Christ. We are heirs of the kingdom. This is God's desire for his sons. And I remind you that sons has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with title. When God created us, he granted us the privilege of naming what was his to be named. And the spreading of authority begins right there. God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever man called a living creature, that was its name. And it also says, let them, men, rule over fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God made the animals, then brought each one of them to man to see what he would call them. God granted his authority to Adam just so God could enjoy watching Adam work, watching what he did with what he was given by God. God enjoys our creativity and our individuality, just as a parent enjoys watching their child express themselves as they grow up. Sometimes it's not so enjoyable, but It's interesting to note that Scripture makes it clear that whatever Adam called the animal, that name was accepted by God. He approved it, even aardvark. God did not change or correct what Adam did. He didn't make suggestions or offer constructive criticism. God gave Adam his authority, and then God stood by it. This occurred before we fell, when we were clean before God. And it is a small foreshadowing of the way things will be when we stand clean before Him once again. What was, will be again. But this time, there will be no fear of failure. George Bethune wrote, "And so in the judgment day, the inquiry will be made not into our opinions or our professions alone, but into our deeds, as proving the correctness of our faith and the sincerity of our professions." In other words, God's going to look at what we did, not what we said. "These inquiries will be made by God Himself so that your reward, including authority, can be righteously established before all. Everyone will know what authority you were given by God and why it was granted to you. This means it will be universally and eternally respected." Daniel 7:27 says this, "Then the sovereignty and the dominion and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole earth will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion will serve and obey him." Sovereignty and dominion over God's creation will be given to the people in this room. And the people will serve God as a result. You will express God's authority, and it will bless the world. Matthew 24:46-47. "Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing," actually doing, "when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions." Let that sink in, of what he's actually saying to you right here. In charge of all of God's possessions. R.C. Sproul says, "The truth that we are kings and queens in Christ is not some idea conjured up to boost our self-esteem, but a present reality that we will enjoy in its fullness at the resurrection of the dead. At that point, we will sit on thrones alongside our Savior and enjoy by grace what is His by right. Until then, we are to reign over our sinful passions, bringing our minds, will, and affections into submission to Jesus by the power of the Spirit through His Word. Authority, universally granted by grace, is individually assigned as a reward for obedience." This blend of grace and merit can be sensed in the parable that Jesus gave us in Luke 19:13-26. Now, it's a bit long, but try to keep your focus on what is actually being said to us by God, because this is about you and your future. God is telling you how it's going to play out for you. "And he called 10 of his slaves, and each of them gave each of them 10 minas. And he said to them, 'Do business with this until I come back.' But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to reign over us.' When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done." Think of this as the judgment seat of Christ. "The first appeared, saying, 'Master, your mina had made 10 minas more.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in very little thing. You will be in authority over 10 cities.' The second came, saying, 'Your mina, master, has made 5 mina.' And he said to him, 'You shall be over 5 cities.' Another came, saying, 'Master, here is your mina, which I kept away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow.' He said to him, 'By your own words I will judge you. you worthless slave. Did you not know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have at least collected interest. And he said to the bystander, take away the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. I tell you that everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. You see, the master gave his servants work to do. He provided what they needed to do the work. He called them and gave them authority over what was his. He expected a return on his investment in them. The investment was in them. He gave them a mission to do until he returned. He noted that it would be work because the world that he wants us to work in for him hates him. When the master returns, he will call all of those he commissioned on his behalf to give an account of what they've done with what they have been given. The first two servants present their master with a good return on what they've been given. Both were praised by their master and rewarded with authority in direct proportion to the work they had done. They earned it. The third servant did nothing with what he had been entrusted with. He simply kept it safe. What God gives us is meant to be used, put to work for the kingdom. Not using what he has assigned to you means keeping it to yourself, not sending it out into the church or into the world. The master questions why he didn't put it in the bank and at least earn some basic interest. Why didn't you even just go to church, whereby your very mere presence will cause your gifts to be utilized by someone, even if you don't try? Just take it to the right place. No authority will be given to anyone who keeps what they have been given safe for God. Worthless slave, you have gained no value. You have not done what I saved you by grace to do. Take the authority I gave him and give it to the ones who have produced. This is a foreshadowing of the judgment seat of Christ upon his return. Every one of us will be asked the question, what did you do with what I gave you? What good things? Your answer will determine your reward. The point is made that God doesn't have to reward you with anything because he is exacting. He has the power to do whatever he wants to do. He chooses to give us authority because it pleases him to reward those who have served him with good works. What you did not use, you will lose. Obedience matters to God and to you in the end. Once the master returns, serious business involving you will be conducted. Each and every one of us. The time awaits us. C.S. Lewis said, for this time will be God without disguise, something so overwhelming that it will strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror into every creature. It will be too late then to choose your side or to choose to use what you are given. Now, this parable here speaks to the church, not to the world. The worthless servant, the slave of the master, and his reward is denied. Not his salvation, his reward. However, this parable does conclude with what happens to the world. The next verse, 19:27. But these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. That's one of the things we should be working for, that very few are brought into his presence for that. Let me read Matthew 24:46-47 one more time for you. Blessed is the slave whom his master finds doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge all his possessions. God created all of this for you to have authority over. And I leave you with this to ponder until next week. Revelations 22, 3 through 5. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservant will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will have no need of the light of a lamp nor the light of a sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. That's you. Next week, we'll look at why we should not fear the fear of failure when we ponder the authority that we will be given in the eternal kingdom. Because as soon as I think about that, I start to worry. Do you know what you're doing, Lord? Giving that to me? He knows exactly what he's doing. God is good.